about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 14th on the West Coast, now December the 15th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome everyone listening in on BlogTalkRadio.com. Usually I make you guys wait last, and on WindTalkers.com. Radio Network. Special shout out to everyone throughout the world that's listening on Wind Talkers in the U.S. military. Our thoughts and prayers are with you constantly. Know that. And those of you who listen to me on Drew Rain's A Marine's Disquisition with Greg Evenson, I should say Dr. Greg Evenson, this afternoon, got to hear a synopsis of what's going on and what we should be doing. And it's multifaceted, believe me. I also want to give a shout out to those folks in what is called the United Galactic Federation and thank them for all the work that they are doing. Much of it is unseen by most of the people on the planet. But some interesting photos have been coming out in some emails, and I was sent one a few days ago by a mutual friend that tonight's guest and I have. Actually, I met this person through tonight's guest, Dr. Mike Castle, who is going to be on the show tomorrow night. And there were some pictures taken of some craft hidden in what we call lenticular clouds. Many of you have seen these strange flat clouds that look like the dimensions of a spaceship, not always the prototypical flying saucer. One is actually resembles a sort of a potbelly stove. And there were two types of craft in this series of emails that came out. I can tell you some are the Federation craft and some are reptilian and gray. And I was informed even that the reptilians and the grays listen to this show. So I am quite honored by that. I have to tell you. Now, if you're just tuning in for the first time, stay with us. You'll catch up. But we won't go into too much detail on that. But I want to give a special shout out to everyone, all my friends in the United Galactic Federation Galaxy of Hendon. They tune in to this show Monday through Friday, and they broadcast this show throughout our solar system and points beyond. We've been told that on some past shows, and I'm just going to keep bringing the truth out. That's the best thing I can do. And one day, everyone is going to see these folks, and you'll know all along I've been telling you the truth. With that, we're going to probably discuss the world events with tonight's guest. He is a talk show host in his own right, an author, a fantastic researcher, journalist. When I say author, he writes books, but he also writes very fine articles. They're really like theses, actually, in college for a doctorate degree. I mean, just brilliant research. And he's been on Evident Footprints every Monday this month and will continue to be throughout the month of December, a man that I have great respect for and can honestly say he is my dear friend, Dr. A. Chu Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
See, that's a pretty strong signal. Fantastic. Oh, golly, you know, it's been an amazing week. I apologize for not getting through to John and a few other people I had to go. But I had family obligations, had a wedding down in southern Utah. And as luck would have it, we got caught in a blizzard and had to inch our way back home, and it's been quite a weekend. But that's what happens when you travel in the West and across the Rocky Mountains in the middle of winter. So,
well, don't worry about that. Don's not going anywhere soon. So,
yes. Well, you know, we've following my broadcast today, Don, I received a phone call from a gentleman who I've come to respect greatly. He's back in actually in the Virginia area, Alexandria. He's part of the Lyndon LaRouche team, actually. His name is Don Fowle. And the LaRouche team has representatives in Copenhagen monitoring what's going on. And they gave me a blow-by-blow update today on the ground that you won't hear in the mainstream media at all. And I'm going to probably get a guest this Friday, the gentleman that actually wanted to do a video documentary of all this and was absolutely shut down by the world police force, if you can believe that. This is supposed to be an open press conference that they held there in Copenhagen today. Mm-hmm. And he was had his film crew come in and to ask questions and to document what was going on. He was arrested and then escorted out of the premises. That's the signal of things to come, absolutely. But the report coming out, Don, is this. There is most definitely as part of this cap-and-trade program an underlying agenda that's not going to be talked about openly. And that agenda is to decrease the Earth's population by at least 3 billion people in the next 3 to 4 years. Now, that's part and parcel to what they believe needs to be done to save the Earth from this global warming phenomenon, this hoax that is just flat out not true, not happening, but it's a cover to, again, decrease the Earth's population. And this is where it ties in, Don, to the emerging viruses, these RNA-manipulated Frankenviruses that are created in the weapons laboratories and released upon the people. You know, I'm convinced now, after this latest report, they're a little bit upset that this hasn't, this eugenics genocide has not been going according to plan. Something is stopping the virulence, the deadliness, if you will, of this weaponized virus. They were projecting 30 to 40 million people dead by this time of the year last summer. It's not happened. I kind of have to believe there's some kind of intergalactic or divine intervention going on here. I have to believe something's going on. This virus has pretty much been a dud. It hasn't been killing people the way they projected in their computer models at the first of the summer.
Well, when they are reduced to advertising this on a Clorox bleach commercial, you know it's not doing well.
Yeah.
I suppose when they start telling you to use Pine Sol and get your flu shot, they're really desperate.
But. Well, you know, the Associated Press story at the middle of last week, that at least run in my local newspaper, was basically saying, oh, the H1N1 is still out there. It's still a threat. It's still going to cause problems, yada, yada, yada. Because a lot of people have just flat out forgotten about it because it's kind of a non-issue. Yet they still want to keep people in fear, rushing in to get the vaccines. And it remains to be seen if the vaccine itself is not what I claimed it to be in my paper as a immunosterilization program. I think that's very much what's happening, but it's way early, too early to tell. It's going to take a year to two to see just how this impacts the world population from a sterilization injection.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have enough people listening to the show, and there are enough people talking to each other to assume that people are waking up. They find this to be ridiculous. Most people don't know anyone who even has the flu. And any instances of illness have come about from having gotten a shot in most cases. They still haven't named one person who's died, although there are all these hundreds of thousands of or millions of deaths are being reported. It's utterly ridiculous. It's just another sign that that their empire is crumbling. And you are quite right. It is divine providence, I would say.
Well, there's evidence now, as I shared with you, that things are happening and becoming more and more evident, Don. These strange lights out of over Norway, and my sources tell me that there is a series of spectacular lights similar to that that just happened in China. It seems like there's some unidentified objects doing some interesting night work, to put it bluntly.
Yeah, I saw those photographs. I have to tell you that they look like artist renderings projected into a holographic image.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about Project Bluebeam there, for sure. And that it has to happen over Norway and then be spread around the world to try to create some panic is indicative of this. These things are, when we see things happening of a supernatural nature, and I say supernatural when really maybe that's a misnomer, because it is very natural to see crafts coming here from another place. There's no reason for people to fear. The fear is caused by one's own ignorance, and of course it's designed to produce that reaction, because this planet has been historically controlled by fear for thousands of years. The one thing they cannot stand, listen, you who are listening to us, we know this, we understand this, that the fear is your fear, and you're only trying to project your fear onto us. And we see that, and we understand that. And that's my message, but that's also the Creator's message. Fear is an illusion, and if you want it to be your reality, fine, have it be your reality. But I never chose it, and I reject it. I rebuke it. I didn't mean to get religious on you there, Drew, but
no. Well, that's very important. My motto is, it's just when you really have a true faith in an understanding of who you are as a divine creation. There's no room for fear. It's a wonder. I mean, death is not anything to be feared either. It really is just an opening to another experience. It's an ongoing thing. I'm going to be exploring this in depth on my show probably after the first of the year. I've got a number of research scientists and others lined up that have been doing a near-death experience science project, okay? There's been these two individuals are doing a great job compiling and interviewing and dissecting over 2,000 near-death experiences, what they call NDEs, worldwide in many different cultures, many different languages, and many different religious backgrounds, and there's a central pillar and theme of all of them, and most definitely the preponderance of evidence shows that death is merely an entryway to another existence. So no need to fear that. It's all a grand adventure, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And it's if you want to escape it, make the wrong choices. and you will still have a reality for the choices that you make, even if you make choices that are really in the end, undesirable choices. I think what I resent the most is that there are those that make the choices on our behalf. That is the true meaning of freedom, is making your own choices as a sovereign child of God. And we are all sovereign children of God.
Right.
Many have turned away from the Creator, and as a result, they've tried to pull the rest of us down, you see. Because once you make that choice, there's really no turning back without repentance and the forgiveness being bestowed upon you. And it's conditional based on the sincerity behind your repentance. It's not a complicated issue. We tend to make things complicated, and those that profess to teach us these things and you know, the middlemen between mankind and God, the guys that are constantly telling us how much money God needs, you know, I always say I don't ever recall reading in the Bible or hearing the voice of God telling me that he has a cash flow problem. Yet that is the reality. And it sounds like I'm being a smart aleck, but really that's a very honest, open way of looking at organized religion and the garbage that they feed us.
Well, that's true, and especially the dominant religion here in Utah, if you know who I'm talking about. It just seems like they have more money for projects and building contracts than anybody around. Case in point, downtown Salt Lake City, there's a huge mega mall that will probably, you know, it's been reported to be the world's greatest and grandest mall, shopping mall, for heaven's sakes, in downtown Salt Lake City, with condominiums and all kinds of office space, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a multi-billion dollar project. And then the local newspapers reported that there's another huge development that this church is producing in Lehi, Hawaii, there at their university, the Brigham Young University site there. And this is a major 260-some-odd room high-rise hotel and resort. You know, I just shudder because, like you said, Dunn, I didn't know Jesus was a developer, a real estate developer. And I just think about all of the homeless people and all of the people who go to bed hungry in this world that could feed. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars here.
If I could play dumb for a moment, Drew, where are they getting all that money?
Well, it's very easy. If you don't have to pay taxes and you are have assets that are in a broad spectrum of the world's vices, okay, such as they're heavy into pharmaceuticals, they're heavy into distilleries, tobacco companies, and they don't have to pay taxes. It's a recipe for success. You know, they own so much property all over. Just the real estate they own in Florida is just stunning. And then, of course, 10%. I was thinking about it today, Don. It's like, you know, the big, powerful thug on the corner coming in and demanding a 10% protection fee from every business on the street. I mean, it's not too much different when you have social pressures and threats of hellfire and damnation if you don't pay your 10% off the top. Do the math. It's just an amazing recipe for accumulating great wealth. And again, if it really truly went to those in need to kind of help, again, like I said, help the homeless and feed the hungry, not a problem, but it surely is not happening.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure one to promote loving people. What impact do you think cap and trade is going to have on polygamy? sort of a tongue in cheek question.
Yeah, the tongue is firmly in cheek on that one. Well, you know, when you really dissect cap and trade, Don, it amounts to one gigantic transfer program and a move towards world socialism and fascism completely. I mean, that's to have the wealth of an industrialized nation, a once great industrialized nation in the West, transfer that to struggling third world countries, and then combine that, of course, with a population reduction agenda. It's the camouflaged move to the new order that they've been plotting for literally centuries.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I could make a comment, the baton of the swine flu pandemic propaganda, what's the term I want to use, media blitz, has been passed over to some of these chemical companies like Clorox. There's a commercial where they're telling people to use Clorox. Oh, by the way, go out and get your flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
And tell your friends. I guess you should, at Christmas time, give everyone a bottle of Clorox and put a little note in there that makes sure
you can put about a teaspoon in a little jug of water and shake it up and swig it. It'll kill about everything in your body, including you.
Yeah. Well, you know, the desperation. Well, you know, what I see is that they're now investing their attention, or they're directing their attention on what happened yesterday, or actually it may have happened as recently as last Friday. The Chinese exercised the lien that they won in the World Court, and with the assistance of the International Monetary Fund, to place a lien on the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury for $47 trillion. That's big news. You're not hearing a lick of this in the mainstream media. And basically, the prosperity programs are intended to move forward. It is an enormous amount of money. I understand it's, if you take a 1 and place 45 zeros after it, that's how much money you're talking about. You're talking about total debt forgiveness on this planet and immediate wealth to everyone, every man, woman, and child. And, of course, there's a lot going on in Washington that you're not hearing about as well. And this is not an exaggeration. I've been on this case for well over 3 years, 3.5 years, and I'm really understanding what's going on. I see all the different highways that these issues intersect. And right now, the banks, which are many are owned by the pharmaceutical companies themselves, are in a lot of trouble because of their noncompliance with Basel II and Basel III. These are just realities. How is this going to affect us? Well, if this actually comes to pass, this is going to be a different story on this planet than the one that's being written for us right now. So give up the fear, folks, and pay attention to what's going on. Chris Story absolutely has just hit the bullseye on his last two articles. I mean, he's getting death threats, very, very incompetent intel agents are leaving phone messages and calling him up all hours of the day and night, and they're intercepting his email. Well, they intercept mine too, but it doesn't stop me from being who I am. So if we become dependent upon the system that we know is corrupt, we're just as corrupt. We've got to think outside the box and see that we have the potential within us to create something else. And you alluded to that when you brought up the topic of the near-death experience. That's just a transition period. And likewise, why not transition ourselves to good health while we're here?
Right, exactly.
You know, we seem to keep focusing on the pictures and the papers Yeah, I spent the last week doing a lot of research on history. And again, I'm debunking the history, and things become crystal clear as to what's going on and what has been going on for the past 150 years or so. And these people that want us to bow down and kiss their feet as if there's something special, when all they are is corrupt. I'm almost at a loss for words to describe the amount of deceit that has come our way thanks to our quote-unquote leaders. And the world leaders are no better. Now, there are some factions of people that have the wherewithal and the means to overcome all this corruption, and I really see something being done about it. So there is hope on the horizon. But it's not a question of sitting around and waiting for someone else to do it. Someone else isn't going to make me healthy when I'm sick. I have to take care of myself. Or I'm not sick. I'm just saying, you know, were I to be sick, it's up to me. It's up to me to do it. Now, if I can consult with an expert who can get me there in a shorter time, in a more direct way, one that's going to benefit me more in the long run, then by all means, consult with an expert. I'm not telling anyone that they shouldn't. But we have the power within us. That's the point I'm making. And everything that's being done to us has the intention to disempower us. And those days are ending. Those days are ending. And I see also that these people are going to be held accountable for what they've done to humanity. What's your take on that?
Well, it's high time that they have been. Literally hundreds of millions of innocents dead or maimed over the last century. And I'm talking about one of the biggest killers on the planet, and that's modern medicine, Don. Modern pharmaceutical drugs, vaccinations going back to the early 1900s. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that the killer, so-called killer pandemic of 1918 was due 100% to a contaminated vaccine program. The typhus fever vaccine of 1913, 1914. As that was passed around the world in the troops of World War I, this eventually evolved into what is known today as the so-called Spanish flu. And why is it called the Spanish flu? Because Spain just happened to be where many of the Allied training bases were held for those troops going into the trenches of France. So make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, these vaccines, these needles, this testing of foreign substances into the bodies by means of a shot has done nothing but kill people and absolutely enriched the pockets of a very, very greedy and corrupt few elite. And that is what has got to stop, Don. It has to stop now.
Yes, I would consider that the Creator, in giving us life, also can take life. And that doesn't mean that when life is taken that it's the Creator is behind it. Obviously, we agree. We have agreed on past shows that we are engaged in spiritual warfare, whether or not we recognize that. As a whole, I'm speaking of humanity, we are in a spiritual battle. And this is a take-no-prisoners kind of battle, if you get my meaning. Do you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. Yes, indeed. These corrupt individuals in high places, and we're talking about you brought in organized religion. Don, I'm convinced the Catholic churches, the LDS, the Talmudic Jews in Jerusalem. Folks, there is such a dark, evil agenda going on behind the scenes. We're talking satanic ritual and the eighth Black Sabbath that they're called 8 points of the wheel of the year that they perform. All of this going on includes abuse of children and even, you know, blood sacrifice of children, and worldwide, literally hundreds of thousands of innocents are sacrificed in these rituals each and every year. You don't understand how many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of children in this globe just come up missing to satisfy this bloodlust. And make no mistake, this is happening across the board in organized religion.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I get the impression that those that hear us say children are sacrificed or women are sacrificed, they don't really get the meaning of what we're saying. We're talking about a very dark, satanic act that's being carried out, where this person loses their life, where this person is tortured, where this person is maimed. And every unspeakable thing you can imagine is done to this person for the purpose of capturing their essence, their life force, as if it's a candy bar that you get at the corner store. And it's a sickness, it's an illness, and it belongs to those that practice this. And the duplicity in telling us, yes, we have to do more to protect children, and they set up all these government programs so that they know where the children are, so that when they want to increase the supply, they go turn around and abduct more. There are hit squads in the CIA that do nothing but pick up kids. The Finder.
Right, they're called the Finders, yes, indeed.
Yes. This is a reality, and we know places where this goes on. The castles that they construct around the planet are some such places, aren't they?
Oh yes, and they've again. This is not something that just happened in the last 30, 40 years. This goes back to the dawn of civilization and the ancient tablets and cuneiform of writings of Sumer and Babylon. I'll talk about this. The dragon of the Bible is really the reptilians' influence in these rituals. You know, when Christ in the New Testament took his wrath out on the so-called scribes and Pharisees of the time, I would remind the listeners that he called them serpents and generation of vipers. There's no such thing in the New Testament as vernacular slang, okay? It was a literal description in the original text. Christ knew the agenda. Christ knew the ancestry of these individuals and how they are tied to the serpent gods, the interdimensional beings known as the Dracos, which are not myth, ladies and gentlemen. Through the sacred geometry and the performing of these blood rituals and sexual orgies and the power that they bring interdimensionally, these beings materialize, and they do indeed give counsel. They do indeed give wisdom and guidance, and this is the secret of the Brzezinskis and the Kissingers and the Rothschilds. This is really who they give their loyalty to. Ladies and gentlemen, the God, the Creator God of this universe wants the human sons and daughters to experience life in its fullness. The first commandment was to go forth and multiply and replenish the earth. There's plenty of earth available for triple the current population. if the selfish desires of wrongful government is eliminated, and people can be left to harvest their crops and to plant crops. There's no such thing as famine, really, with the technologies that we have and enjoy today. Good heavens, just America alone, if allowed to plant and harvest the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres of fertile farmland that's now, you know, being put up in government-subsidized non-crops, okay? We could feed so many more millions of people, see? But that's the lie. If you have an agenda that wants to depopulate the earth, well, that's the antithesis of the commandment to multiply and replenish here. So it kind of gives you a signature clue as to who's responsible for that agenda.
Yeah, you used the exact word I was going to use, the antithesis, and you took all the balloon, or all the air out of my balloon.
Well, that's because I'm full of hot air, Don.
You know, you brought up GM food. That's interesting because I was reading something about Monsanto yesterday, and I've been following all the suicides that have been occurring over the past few years in India, for example, where many of these farmers are being forced to use the Monsanto seeds and the Monsanto chemicals, which they're told are going to make these crops more prolific, and people are getting sick from these pesticides and some of the fertilizers that are being used. They can't make any money. They've basically sold their souls and put themselves and their families into the direst of straits, economically speaking. And you're still talking about people that have profound spiritual beliefs, rooted in doing what is right. And so they take the blame for this. This is not mind controlled type of suicide, or it's not murder in the traditional sense. Yet in a way, to drive a person to want to kill themselves because of all the despair it creates, is it not assisted homicide? You know, even intended, and there are no consequences for any of this. We keep telling people, learn how to plant your own seeds, grow your own crops. Well, what do? They want to outlaw this? Or you say, well, you know, global warming is what we have to focus on now. This is a big problem. The only global warming I recall in the Bible was that one would experience in hell. I don't know what other global warming there was. Now, that's not to say that there's not ice on the polar ice caps, which is melting. There are a lot of reasons for that. And these things also happen in cycles. Over eons of time, these things repeatedly happen. You know, to make it an issue of suppressing the people and further taxing them or imprisoning them for using the products that they make. See, they don't mind manufacturing cars, processing oil that they take out of the ground that they shouldn't be taking out, and driving people into extreme poverty intentionally, which is intentional criminal impoverishment. You know, we somehow lose sight of the fact that this is being done to us, and that those that do it should be held accountable for it. And they reach for every opportunity to criminalize us, you know, for buying their products, for using their products, for creating a society that's dependent upon those products, and then to turn around and tell us we will pay the price, we are to pay the price for fixing it, when the intention isn't to fix it, because if it was, they would stop making these products and stop selling the products that they've already made. So
absolutely.
you know, you want to talk about duplicity, there's in the simplest form of logic, there's duplicity. And yet the guy that comes out with a book that supposedly promotes this idea as being true science is just as responsible. And they give him a prize because they, you know, because he stepped aside so someone else could criminally steal the presidency of the United States. So they could steal money. You know, I mean, it's always about the money, isn't it?
Well, it is. If you take just the amount of Federal Reserve notes, which really is nothing more than a bank entry, a blip, right? We talked about this a little bit, Don. $27 trillion to date going out in these transfer payments. Well, do the math. You've got roughly 150 million outstanding mortgages in this country, Don, and you really want to do a stimulus package, basically pay off the outstanding debt on these mortgages through a government transfer computer entry and see what happens with prosperity and the people putting their hard-earned equity and sweat back into, building real wealth again, okay? Starting to save and to gain the fruits of your labors other than having it pilfered and stolen. There's no more subtle and dangerous theft than that of flooding the markets with these transfer payments done through stimulus packages that we really don't know to whose pocket they're going into, except they're basically the Jewish buddies of BO in the White House. We're talking, look at the ethnicity of Obama's staff, and it's so highly disproportionate in Zionist Jews that it's unbelievable. Okay, from Kissinger and Brzezinski all the way, to Rahm Emanuel and the rest of the crowd is, as Tex Mars calls them, the instead of Schindler's List, he calls it Swindler's List.
Yeah. Well, these are the same people that have been behind every war that ever occurred on this planet in recent times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without exception.
Well, there's reasons why they have been expelled from so many countries over the centuries, okay? And it's not because they're not handsome people, it's because of the rituals that they perform. It's not conducive to happiness and well-being for the general public. Just not.
Yeah, when I read Exodus in the Bible, there is a fact about the Jewish people being in Egypt in the beginning that's never discussed, and that had to do with the advertisement of work to be done there. So they went there to work. They went there to make money. And yet they found the pursuit of wealth to be rather unpleasant under those terms. And so the people begged to leave. Moses got them out of Egypt, and what did they want to do once they got, they found themselves in the wilderness, and they became so dependent upon, I'll use the analogy of government providing, as opposed to the individual listening to the voice of God and following God's laws. I mean, there's a lot of symbology in
if you go into the hidden text of such things as the Nag Hammadi scrolls and others that have been unearthed, you find some interesting things there, Don, that perhaps the pharaohs of Egypt were the patriarchs of the Old Testament. The time frame surely overlaps, and you need to ask the question: who was Tutmosis, the pharaoh? Wasn't that Moses? The mausoleum, the tombs that have been unearthed show Tutmosis being actually the carvings and the paintings in the tomb shows the bulrushes. Much the story of we have of the biblical Moses being hidden in the bulrushes. The lineage of the pharaohs of Egypt corresponding so well to the Middle Eastern, patriarchs of the Bible from Abraham on down. It's very likely that Israel, Isis, Ra, and El. Are all gods of the ancient Egyptian pharaohs. Do you think that that has anything to do with what's going on worldwide with the emergence of the ordained pharaoh in the White House? Sources have told me that on his trip to Egypt and the first couple months of his presidency, he was, in fact, ordained to be pharaoh of the earth by the powers that be, that, basically the Illuminati ruling elite, which go back, of course, to the Egyptian bloodlines to begin with. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here as far as the so-called Jewish bloodlines in a very real way, too. The bloodlines that we find in the city of London, the bloodlines we see in the Vatican, and even, here in America, in the city-state of Washington, D.C., are very much tied to the blood of Isis, Ra, and El of Egyptian lore. Dan Brown's latest book, The Lost Symbol, mm-hmm. He goes into this very much in depth, how everything architecturally speaking in Washington, D.C. is tied to the occultic religion of the ancient pharaohs of Egypt.
Yes.
The all-seeing eye of the pyramid, the seal of the great of America and the eagle, all of this goes back to, again, Isis and the god Ra and El of the Egyptian tradition.
Yeah. Ra being the sun god.
Yes.
Which is also practiced in Catholicism as well.
And there's a lot of evidence to show that the god that they worshipped, the high priest, was Amun-Ra, the sun god, and Christians today unwittingly invoke his name in prayer as they say his name Amun as they conclude their prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So, the tradition goes to call it the Judeo-Christian code. Well, there's a strong body of evidence that it really should be the ancient sun god tradition of Egypt. And again, what happened on December 21st of the Egyptian calendar year? Well, according to the tradition, that was it is still the winter solstice, the 21st, where the sun god died, and 3 days later he was resurrected and born on the 25th. It was this great celebration for the birth of the sun god,
mm-hmm.
The 25th of December. So, there's so much parallels and overlapping. It's quite stunning. Even the New Testament tells us that Joseph and Mary were told to take the baby Jesus, or the young man, and escape to where? Egypt.
Mm-hmm. You even have the Ra hidden in the middle of the word Pharaoh. Pharaoh. In the way we spell it, anyway.
And look closely at the headdress and the crown of the ancient pharaohs. And what is it? It's a cobra. It's a serpent.
Mm-hmm.
The worship of the serpent. I mean, that's really what it's all about.
Makes you wonder how it got translated into the fish hat that the Pope wears. But that's for another time. Drew, we've got a caller on the line who's been patiently holding. Would you like to take a call?
Surely, you bet.
Okay. Rodney in South Carolina, welcome to Evident Footprints. Comment or question for our guest, Dr. A. Truat.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Dr. Truat. First is a comment. When you brought up castles, that tripped my memory to the Franklin Castle in Cleveland, Ohio. Very evil place. Many missing children, and it's a satanic place that they have been doing rituals since the 1800s that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about it?
Yes, I have, yeah. Wasn't that owned, I may be wrong, but wasn't that owned by the Rockefellers? Does that sound familiar?
I honestly don't remember, Don. I do remember going past it. I remember several houses in Lakewood were actually taken down because there was blood rituals, and they made a parking lot out of it, and they kept that hush-hush. The woman's name, her name is Marianne Winkowski. She does that program on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
She's a real person. I've talked to her. I know where she lives up there. There's three of the three most negative places in the United States are, obviously, Las Vegas. There's a place in New Mexico. And guess where number three is? Cleveland, Ohio.
Hmm.
And that's fact. And there are gypsies, and there are very, very, very evil things that go in that stretch of that area.
Yeah, that's a spooky-looking place anyway, just to look at it.
I've been there when I've seen some very, very horrid things go on, and I know, thank God, I am protected from it. And I dealt with it in my own way through the grace of our good Lord. And they found out that God was a little stronger than they were. And there were several of them sent to hell. But that is a very evil, 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 negative place to ever be.
Yeah, it's a strange place. They have trap doors and tunnels and, I'm sure there's got to be some sort of an underground torture facility that's there.
I can assure you there is. I've been told in detail what's in there, and it's very satanic.
Hmm.
That whole area is very satanic.
Yeah. Well, do you have a question for Dr. Ott this evening?
Just keep doing what you're doing, Dr. Ott. I listen to you on different places here and Jeff. Where are you on the other station?
Well, I've left the Rents Radio Network for financial reasons, but we're on RBN Radio right now from 12 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. That's Mountain Standard Time. So if you're in the Midwest, that's 1 to 3, and East Coast is 2 to 4.
Okay, 2 to 4, that's my time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to bring to you, is that's just one more of those negative, horrible areas that I advise people. See, they used to open up Franklin Castle, especially during Halloween, for like little parties and stuff. Can't tell you how many people never came out.
Wow.
They never told you about that one.
Well, I have my own feelings about these places, and I'm not saying that none of these deeds go on, of course. When they have the right victim, it's anything can transpire. what I want to encourage people is that they don't have to succumb to evil. They don't have to be afraid of evil. Just turn away from it.
Oh, absolutely. I looked it straight in the face, and I told him what I thought of it, and I told me told to get behind me and leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. You know, Christ said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil in high places. What do you think he meant by high places?
That's why they have to have turrets at the top of the castle, I guess.
Well, yeah, it could be anything where one raises themselves physically above the level of mankind, you know? Could be in space, too, couldn't it?
Well, I know a lot of people got very upset with me, and I tried to tell a few people that I wanted to see the thing torn down. Or I wanted to see it excavated 1,000 feet below it and destroyed. And they looked at me like I said sacrilege, and I said, well, I just proved my point, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Then that was tabled and never talked about again, and I just sat there and smirked at him, and I said, rest my case.
Well, it's had an interesting history. The German Socialist Party actually owned that place sometime around the time that they established the Federal Reserve. And is it a coincidence that they have a Federal Reserve Bank in Cleveland?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Since you brought up the German thing, there was some, I guess they want to call them brown coats or the Nazi Party.
Or the brown shirts, you mean?
Oh, yeah. They were dressed literally in brown shirts. They had Nazi emblems on them. It was somewhere on Lorraine Road, which is Route 10, if you look up on the map. And it's not too far from there, but it was on Lorraine Road. It had been there for years. They used to have some phone numbers you could call, and it was pretty disgusting. Somebody played it for me one time, and I said, I've heard enough. Don't waste my precious hearing on that garbage. And one day I had to go and pick up some stuff, and I drove past it, and all of a sudden, everything was black and burned. I looked over at my buddy, and I said, what happened? He said, you hadn't heard? And I said, no, that's why I'm asking. He said, somebody took it out. They blew it up and burned it out.
Yeah.
I guess there was some nasty war down there, and it never hit the news. And I saw the end result, and I'll tell you what, Don, it was taken out.
Well, you know, anywhere there's evil or there's the opportunity for evil to work its way into a otherwise holy place or a sacred place.
It was
place,
pure evil.
Yeah. There's usually dimensional portals there. And those are intentionally opened up or magnified or just plain used for a specific purpose. And so you will see manifestations occur in a building. Not because the building itself has any particular talent or ability to produce these things. It's that the pathway for these things to occur or to arrive has been opened up. It's very simple. It's not real complicated.
In other words, this is through, like, supernatural stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, evil has its place in the universe.
Okay.
It has its place, and it tends to move around and look for a place to inhabit. And obviously, evil doesn't inhabit evil. It seeks to expand and multiply itself or amplify itself.
Now I'm starting to understand when I look at some of these people that are so evil, and I've had some evil things done to me here. I just looked at them, and they started trying to intimidate me, and I looked them straight eyeball to eyeball, and I said, God's going to get your ass, and I said, you'll know when he does.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to take a stand, you know.
Let's put it this way. I opened up the newspaper, and I read about it, and it gave me cold chills because it was several years later after I'd said it. And I showed the newspaper article to a friend of mine, and I said, well, here's the power of God. And he says, oh, Lord. He said, I remember when you said that. And I said, well, I guess he went after too many people, and God finally dealt with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was dealt with up in the Blue Ridge Mountain area, and didn't go nice.
Yeah. Well,
no, I'll tell you what happened. God sent him to hell. He burned him up.
Yeah. Well, Rodney, I want to thank you for your call.
You're very welcome.
Maybe we can get Dr. Ott to comment on some of your comments.
That would be fine. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
God bless
great.
You both.
Thanks for calling in. All right. Drew, any thoughts on Rodney's call?
Well, yeah, obviously he's a local from Cleveland area, so knows what's going on there. But make no mistake, every major metropolitan area has their headquarters of similar type of things, from whether it's Los Angeles and the there is a major cult that was basically brought to light. You know, here's all these children in a daycare, drawing these pictures and telling the most horrendous stories of abuse and altars and seeing other children killed, and nobody believed them. They thought the kids were just having bad dreams or nightmares. Now, this is the infamous McMartin daycare story.
Oh yeah,
my friend Ted Gunderson was at the forefront of that as during the FBI years when he was a special agent in charge in L.A. And so, long story short, they found by executing a search warrant that these children were very, very correct. There was an incredible maze of underground tunnels, and also, you know, back in the 1930s, there was a series of articles in the Los Angeles newspapers, Don, about an excavation that uncovered massive ancient tunnels that the local Indians had said for years belonged to the lizard people, the serpent people.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a major, and there was no small single tunnel. It was extensive maze of going many, many miles, both vertical and horizontal, in the Los Angeles area. And these tunnels were most evidently done many hundreds, if not thousands, of years earlier. And so, you know, the propensity to do evil, Don, is across the globe. You got the Mothers of Darkness castles in Belgium and France and Old England, of course. Each one of them have their underground subterranean chambers. The eyewitnesses of people I've interviewed that have actually been part of these rituals and have now turned away from them, they depict these subterranean chambers where sometimes you even have the magma, the hot lava, coming close to the surface, and they have these incubation areas where they are basically tending these reptilian eggs of all places. And make no mistake, there are cultures still underground that are living and working down there. They're not human, okay? But they most definitely exist.
Well, this phenomena, or these phenomena, have been reported by a number of people. You know, one that constantly comes to mind is Phil Schneider, who was a government geologist and an engineer, and was building these bases. He described many of them, and certainly his demise came about his involvement in the Dulce War that occurred some years before his death. And his death was obviously a murder. He had come out in 1995 and 1996 and was traveling around the country speaking. Denver was one particular place, and I think he gave a very important seminar in Idaho. And, you know, one doesn't commit suicide by strangling themselves with piano wire. It's difficult. I'm a piano tuner. I can tell you it's hard enough tuning a piano, let alone trying to strangle yourself. And he sustained several injuries from the weapons. He was missing some fingers. He had a hole shot through his chest and some other parts of his body. And he was lucky for the time being to get out alive. I think 66 people died in that. And there were three survivors. And one was imprisoned in Canada. The other one was imprisoned. This is to keep them silent, you see, to keep them from going public. The other was imprisoned in California. And I had called into Coast to Coast, I think it was on George Norrie's fifth anniversary, the night he had Linda Moulton Howe as his guest. And I brought up the issue. That night, Linda had been talking about the Roswell crash, and she had found a new witness, and she was bringing this information forth. And I said, why do you just talk about the Roswell case? You know, there's the Cape Girardeau case of 1941, which was pretty interesting because they retrieved some alien bodies, three, in fact, and I discerned that they had taken those up to Wright Field, it was called at the time. Now it's called Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the infamous Hangar 18. And the craft, I felt, had gone there, but they may have taken it maybe to Taos or maybe Los Alamos Labs. Who knows? Why do you discount the fact that there's underground bases, for example? And I brought up the Dulce base, and she said, you would have an easier time proving that Cape Girardeau occurred than you would that the Dulce base exists. Well, Phil Schneider has come out with a lot of information about that, and very specific information. If you read the Branton files on that whole issue, he went into great detail about the abductions occurring right there in Dulce. All the missing people that are reported. So, you know, this is not something new, and yet there is this attempt to compartmentalize the information that comes out. I went and found the location of the Cape Girardeau crash, and we found references to it, although there were a misdirection in the Freedom of Information documents released to Robert and Ryan Wood. Dr. Robert Wood and his son Ryan have basically made a career on looking up all these suppressed documents from MJ-12 and the like. But most of them are redacted. And they refer to southwestern Missouri crash of 41 when it was southeastern. You know, they threw that in. And it didn't happen in Cape Girardeau. It was in Jackson. It was 1 mile southwest of downtown Jackson. And they built an apartment complex over the crash site. And I would venture to guess there's still radiation there. But I went there and I stopped at the house of the lady that owned the property. Just the first house I stopped to, that was the lady that owned it. And I had gone there with Bruce Wideman from MUFON, Missouri. And I said, Bruce, we have to stop and talk to the lady that lives in this house. She knows about that night. She was missing six calves the next morning. Her husband had come in the house, really upset that the gate hadn't been pried open and there were no tracks in the mud. It had rained the night before. I described a thunderstorm, and she verified that in her account of what happened. See, these things go on. Let's look at all these things. You know, let's talk about all these things. Why suppress the information? Well, it reveals who's pulling the strings, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It reveals who pulls the strings of the shadow government.
Well, according to some sources, this Thursday, the 17th, Mr. B.O. in the White House will be supposedly having a worldwide press conference opening the so-called X-Files and being fully transparent. But I think there's, if this does materialize, there's another hidden agenda for this as well, to kind of prepare the masses for the what they deem to be the return of their gods to the earth. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think we've done enough shows that we've sort of taken the thunder out of that announcement. there are many though that that haven't a clue what's going on. Certainly they know something's not right there. I suppose if he's going to fess up and give us the whole truth, is he going to admit that he's a reptilian also?
Well, I have a friend in California who, I guess it was quite interesting, a doctor from Las Vegas on Coast to Coast, and a caller called in and asked him to comment what he was doing. Really, what he does is helps people, I guess, to understand the reptilian bloodlines and the agendas, because he's had quite a few overshadowed individuals, okay, that have this reptilian influence, and he's helped to get rid of them. I guess that's what he does. But when a caller asked to comment on the reptilian connection and Barry Sotoro, Nori immediately cut him off and shut down the question.
Mm.
Kind of interesting, you know. But
that, yeah.
I didn't hear the show. I just had a report secondhand on that. Which, of course, if left to answer, the individual talked to my friend and said, well, this is the doctor from Vegas. Who? Didn't even realize Barry Sotoro and who it really was. And kind of interesting, I think.
Well, I found, I was telling you about this call I made into Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on his fifth anniversary show. And right after the commercial break at the half hour, the first call was the wife of the man who is imprisoned in California, saying that she saw the plans on his desk the day before they went in to try to take out this nest of reptilians and greys that were there. She saw this, and she said, that man is totally telling the truth, meaning me. So I got vindication after the commercial break. So notice I don't run commercials here on this show, so there's no vindication.
So there's a... It is what it is, Don. So yeah, when we talk about this, the evils that are inherent in this world, it really is an alien agenda going on, and whether they're subterranean or from the Draconian star system. The fact is, they are real. We don't need to meet them and interact with them to know that they exist. There's a large body of evidence to show that something very, very wicked is going on underground, not only in this country, but again throughout the world.
Oh yes. Well, I'm working on a piece of the follow-up to my prior revelations of the birth certificate issue that Dwight David Eisenhower had, our 34th president, for those that don't know who that is. And I've come to some conclusions that I could actually dovetail into this conversation, but I'm going to save them for when the article comes out. There's going to be a lot to talk about. I can tell you, and this is something that what we're talking about now, something that's been going on here pretty much since recorded history, if not before it. And there's an awareness coming to these things. Right now, it's always been attack the messenger. So, you know, those of us that talk about this or write about this and are aware of this, we're going to be attacked either by listeners or people that have their own personal private agenda or the powers that be that hire these people to do just that. But when you know the truth and you know that in the end that the truth is going to be revealed, you have sort of a calm, quiet demeanor about it, not really get concerned. Yeah, people can push your hot button and make you angry. What I find is that I pity those that have fallen into that trap and do the bidding of such evil creatures. And it really is a spiritual battle. It really intersects every aspect of the human experience. We have it from the time we're born up until we die. And it manifests itself in all kinds of different ways. And some people might be thinking, well, how can you look at everything that happens in life with, you know, such disdain? I'm not talking about the good things here. You know, what is good doesn't provoke this type of conversation, does it?
Well, there's no need to warn people about the goodness going on. We seek after those things. But we need to warn people about the agenda of this. This is a very critical time, Don. We just need to reemphasize that. And what's going to come out of these meetings in Denmark this week and the actions of the Congress and Senate as far as health care reform, all these things have the potential to shape up to an amazing next 2 years, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I suppose we should be on the lookout for the next Sorcha Fall article too after this meeting closes out.
If there's going to be that's a very, very good point. Yeah.
Well, there is. I want to reference something that Ken Adachi shared with me very recently. In fact, I think it was yesterday. There's a flood of emails going around now that people are very concerned about what's being recorded in the EU Times. And Ken said he was going to write a piece about it, so I don't want to take his thunder. But there's a website in Germany called eutimes.com. I haven't really read much of what's on there, but when I think about the European Union, all I can think about is the Federal Reserve. It's just another branch of the same corruption and evil and oppression of society worldwide. And there in Europe, you know, they've got 27 countries dealing with this reality. Somehow they think that because they've joined forces under the body of this group that the right things, the right decisions are being made. Of course, the people aren't making the decisions. This group is making these decisions. And there's a recent website mirroring that, ending in .net, that just, it's only been out for maybe a month and a half. It came out in late October, and it's in Florida. When you track the IP addresses to both of these organizations, they go to Herndon, Virginia. So these are intel operations. No doubt this is CIA. And everybody jumps at this information like this is something new. Here's something. We're finally getting the truth. And they're just being led down this path of deceit over and over and over again. And it makes me want to reiterate to the listeners, and hopefully they'll pass this message on to other people, that you can discern these things for yourself. why are we so dependent upon seeing the truth through someone else's eyes or out their mouth and taken into our ears? We have the ability through our heart center to discern these things. Would you, I don't even know if you're going to agree with that, but would you share your thoughts on that particular aspect of human consciousness?
Well, yes, indeed. You know, it's again, goes back to the earliest cultures and every continent, Don, whether it's the Hindu and that of the Eastern cultures of India, the Chinese, of course, have the dragons, the Mayan and Aztec cultures predating the Spanish Inquisitions, all worship the feathered serpent, the Quetzalcoatl, and their temples are amazingly identical in architectural and geometrical design, you know, as again, pyramids and cities of ancient Egypt. So there's most definitely a correlation. It wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, that the human experiment is largely tied to these reptilian beings that are doing genetic manipulations. Okay, we just don't know, because of the concerted effort to keep everything hidden away as far as the records are concerned. You know, we'd really know nothing. Say we, the society in general of the ancient continents of Atlantis and Lemuria, what really happened there? Was it a nuclear proliferation that caused the sinking of the continent? You know, what really went on back then? What happened to the entire landmass? If you look closely again at the coastlines of South America and Africa, the Horn, and Europe, you find that they fit like a pretty good jigsaw puzzle, especially when you analyze the underwater sections, okay, that is on the crust of the Earth. There's so much of the Earth's history that has been obfuscated and manipulated that we just really are kept in the dark on purpose, Don. And so, yeah, this the awakening of intelligence will come. It'll have to happen for the Earth to be made whole, and that, or let's just sign it over to the evil ones right now. You know, individuals have got to stand up and be counted.
I attended a school board meeting this evening where they were discussing closing schools as a financial remedy. And at the same time, they were talking about throwing money at an empty lot to build a new building. Well, you know, replacing the old with the new, but following the same cookie-cutter technique isn't necessarily the means through which to progress. And the examples that the school superintendent used to describe how important this was, and he used the term the wow factor, how children learn. And he was talking about, you know, we can invest in technology, we can invest in iPods and computers and all these electronic devices. And I said, these kids have these things already. They have iPods and Walkman and Discman and Xboxes and computers and things that you probably aren't even aware of. Why should we make a technocratic society where they're literally following the program that's been built into this equipment and can't think or create beyond what they see on a screen or can touch with a button? Think about what you're doing. Most of the people had no idea what I was talking about. and I went into the issue of, you know, if we didn't have corporate corruption in the industrial dimension of what funds a school district, would we even be talking about this now? You know, and the fear with the fear factor played in. You know, you wouldn't want me to take you down into the basement of one of these schools and look at the plumbing. It's scary. Oh, so that's going to make our children smart. That's going to make our children be competent and meaningful contributors to society, which, mm-hmm. on the other hand, they're intending to reduce in numbers. And after the meeting, I expressed my personal thoughts on the financial corruption and this whole idea of selling all this when they have, they're not even paying attention to the fact that they're just repeating the same mistake. This has been the history of mankind in not learning from mistakes and not considering other available opportunities or possibilities. You know, we have become so herded into the corral, so to speak, that we can't see through the rails, you know, which are 3 feet apart. And then this superintendent said, "Oh yeah, I'm wondering if we're even going to have a nation next year."
Wow.
And I said to him, "So why are you asking people to commit $45,000 of their personal earnings when you actually feel that way? If you truly are agreeing with me, bring it up. Because there is a solution, but not what you're offering. A bond issue isn't going to make the kids smarter. And buying technological gadgets isn't going to make them smarter." And I use the example in front of the people. You know, technology gave us, you know, the computerized cash register. Have you ever watched someone in a fast food restaurant break down because they can't figure out how much change a person gets when they give a dollar to buy a 65-cent item? And see this person burst into tears because they can't count the money. They see the number, but they don't know what that means. This is the society. This is a level of mental ability, intelligence quotient, that our educational system produces. And they just want to throw money at it. But to see the look on people's faces after I had finished speaking, and I was making very salient points on the reality of the privatization of publicly owned lands and public money. It's been privatized illegally, corruptly, stolen. And they just say, well, we have to have more, which just further enables the criminals, you see. They're not addressing the real issue. They're masking it over, just like the pharmaceutical companies do with their wares.
Yep.
So, you know, I sound like I'm ranting here, but this is very valid as to what's going on in this world. It's the everyday reality. Now, this is creeping up on these people who are totally asleep about what's going on in the world. And I'm not judging them. It's just my observation.
Right. It's valid.
You know, but I'm sure you have the same problem where you are, too.
Well, it's my biggest challenge, frankly, is to not get upset and angry at these boneheads who can't and won't pull their head out of the sand and look. You know, I just have to have charity and realize that each one's on its own, you know, their own spiritual path, and some are more awake than others, and others just, their eyes glaze over when you bring to them this reality.
Yeah, but, you know, because it makes them uncomfortable is not a reason for avoiding the truth, is it?
Well, not if they really, truly have an honest heart to know what's going on and to wonder, you know, how can you change anything if you really don't know the game plan?
Mm-hmm. See, my question was, where was the wow factor when you walked into the basement of that school that had this horrific plumbing? You know, where was the spirit of, wow, we need to fix this?
Right.
You know, it's we seem to be, you know, stagnant in our ability. I'm saying collectively, seem to be stagnant in terms of our spiritual growth. We don't have direction. I guess that may be the result of a poor diet and really a dysfunctional physical shell or vehicle.
Yeah, what do you expect from a generation that's been that grows up with fluoridated toothpaste and guzzling fluoridated waters and bottled not only bottled waters but your juices and your in many cases your carbonation has fluoride in it and it's water based. I mean, it's just a dumbing down of America, Don. There's no doubt about it. People aren't able to use their cognitive reasoning skills, their frontal lobes. They have basically been shut down by these toxins, and so they're not to say they're stupid. They have enough intellectual capacity to earn a living, but that's about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping I don't sound judgmental. I mean, I am pointing out the problem, and a lot of people see this. And mm-hmm. people that are awake certainly can, you know, share this information. You know, it wasn't attack the messenger, although there was one particular person that sort of looked at me like I was condemning these people, you know, because I was making statements, and after the meeting, I turned to her and I said, I noticed that you had a very strong reaction to what I said, but you were reacting and you were reacting out of an anger that I might be alluding, that this is really occurring, that these things are happening, that millions of dollars are being stolen from the schools and you're asking for more money. Well, you know, these people are honest, she said. And I said, I didn't say they weren't honest. I said, in general, this is something that's being done across the nation. The theft of the public's funded projects in every aspect of society is beyond imagination. And so that we here don't fall into that same trap. I thought it's worth a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're taking everything this man says as the gospel truth that it's going to be accomplished. If it was, we wouldn't be in the state we are in now. If they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have to come to you for more money.
Right.
The money's made out of thin air. And until you understand that, the promises you're being given are coming from thin air, too. There's no substance to the argument. Giving the kids things is going to make them successful or smart. And these are being described as educational tools. Don't get me wrong. But so are our history books, you see.
Mm-hmm.
and look at the authors of history, what they have done to hide the truth.
Continuously. Well, it's been a really interesting discussion tonight, Don, as usual.
Yes, I know. And we do have to close out the show, but I want to thank you for being on the show. And I want to encourage folks to listen to the story behind the story on RBN Monday through Friday. And you've got great guests. You've been talking about a few of the things that we talked about tonight. Somehow we can be more liberal at night, it seems.
Yes, we can. It's that time of the night.
But I just want you to know that many listeners appreciate your participation on the show and your wisdom and your insight and all the wonderful information that you bring.
Well, thank you, Don, and thank you for, again, your research and what you do. It's a never ceases to amaze me what you uncover and find, and you do a great service. Again, so thank you, and just sign off, and have a good evening, Don.
All right, you too. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Dr. A. Drew Ott on Evident Footprints, and he'll be back with us again next Monday, so be sure to me. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.